My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the trembling in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he's still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits, and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, hour number 2, 3, 6. Hut. Anyway, hour number 2. I'm sorry, folks. It's Monday. It is the day before Independence Day, and it's Independence Day. You got a bunch of cities out there now. They're all saying, "Oh, we're going to celebrate the 4th of July." The what? No, it's Independence Day. There's a reason why we celebrate this day. It's you know. It's just like these people that run around saying, well, you know, it's all God, you know, Christianity, it's all just love. And God, you know, God killed Jesus to prove that he loves you. I mean, I want you to stop and think about how stupid that message sounds to somebody that logically thinks about, okay, so this is a God that would murder his son, but you want me to believe that he loves me. Equate the two. No. Christ laid down his life to pay a debt that we owe, and the debt is sin that separates us from God. It's all the immorality that you see, the stealing, the murder, the violence, the lying, the stealing, the adultery, the pedophilia, all of the filth that we're watching. Folks, that's sin. That's sin. And we're a part of it, and the people that are actually doing the acts are a part of it. And Jesus Christ came so that if we would ask for forgiveness and recognize that we are sinners, we can appropriate his payment to our lives and be rejoined to our Father in heaven. That's the love. Jesus laid down his life. God didn't kill him. Jesus came in the form of a man without sin and laid down his life that we might be saved. And that is a message that has an answer. I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. We want to get into this issue of having an answer. We're going to talk about France. Rick Manning teased that a little bit, and I'm so glad to have my next guest with me to really be able to get into this conversation with him. And I want to welcome to the program my good friend, Dr. David Wormser. Dr. Wormser, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being here.
It's wonderful to be here, Pastor.
Well, I really do. I want to talk to you about France. I also want you to give us, and we've only got about 20 minutes, and we're gonna blow right through. We're not even gonna take a break, folks. We're just gonna stay right with it because we got a lot to cover. I want to also get your thoughts with regards to the operation that thwarted the terrorist plans that Iran had, and maybe you can go into that just a little bit as well. So maybe we should start with that, hit that briefly, and then move on to France.
Sure. You know, first of all, what you said about Independence Day and so forth, I think it is so important for Americans to understand what the purpose of these holidays are. Memorial Day is not a long day weekend marking the beginning of summer where we should all go out and have a barbecue. It's the day we honor the dead who died trying to keep us free and to make us free. And Veterans Day is the day we remember those who paid a big sacrifice but survived, the people who fought for our liberty. And Independence Day is the day where we mark the beginning of our freedom and the meaning of our freedom. So I absolutely agree with you on that.
Thank you.
Now, about what the Israelis just did. So they obviously have very good intelligence inside tracking the Iranians. And they found that there was a major operation by Iran to kill and kidnap Israeli tourists in Cyprus. And they were one step ahead of the Iranians, and they rounded up, along with the Cypriot police, they rounded up the cells that did it, but they also knew that the head of the operation, which was actually a very senior official inside Iran, was present in Cyprus. The Cypriot, when they rounded up the cells, he fled to Iran. He's a very senior figure. He's essentially a general in their terrorist intelligence corps. So the Israelis followed him back to Iran, captured him there, and brought him back to Israel from inside Iran. Wow. and took him back to Israel.
Okay.
Which shows you not only how much granularity the Israelis have about Iran's operations externally, but it tells you how much of a presence Israeli intelligence has operating inside Iran against the regime. So it was really one of those stunning successes, like when the Israelis captured and brought back to Israel the entire nuclear archives of the Iranian government and so forth.
Now, so talk to me about, so the plan was a terrorist attack in Cyprus, is that correct?
Yeah, and this is something that's ongoing in the sense that it was clear about 3-4 months ago, the Iranians had a major operation to kill and kidnap Israelis in Turkey. And now we see it in Cyprus. So the Iranians are desperate to show some big victory against Israel. And the only way they can do it is to kill Israelis abroad or to kidnap them. And that would be even better for them because then they can put them on trial in Iran.
Right, and make a big show of it.
But that's a big problem to the logistics of that for Iran. So they'll settle for killing them if they can. But this is the nature of the Iranian regime. It is terrorism par excellence.
All right, now and there's because we're talking about Islamic doctrine, mm-hmm. and how they operate. And I think there's a connection between Iran and the things. And one of the things that I've talked about, folks, over the years in talking about Islam is called civilization jihad. There are six pillars in Islam, and the sixth pillar is jihad. And every Muslim is accountable to be engaged in that sixth pillar. Every mosque teaches about that sixth pillar of jihad. Now, the majority of Muslims that are engaged in it are engaged in what's called that what they would call in order to kind of pass muster as civilization jihad. Correct, David? More or less, which is infiltrating the culture and the society.
Yeah, you know, we have so much garbage out there about interpreting Islam and so forth. It's really very simple. In Islamic doctrine, the world is divided into two worlds, Dar al-Harb and Dar al-Islam. Dar al-Islam is the world of Islam, and Islam does not mean peace. It comes from the same root as the Israeli word or the Jewish Hebrew word, shalom, but it means, even in Hebrew, shalom means to be resigned or to be completed. So you have it, and it's related to the word to pay. Namely, you complete the transaction. So shalom means that you're kind of, you're complete, not peaceful. Islam means resignation, submission. It doesn't mean peace. So you have the world of submission to God, and then you have Dar al-Harb. Harb means sword. So you have the world of submission and the world of sword. Now, folks, listen, if you call everybody who's not a Muslim the world of the sword, that is not a peaceful, let's have coffee and I'll convince you of my ways type relationship. This is defined in its essence as a war. And that is essentially, and that's the foundation of Islam. And there is no such thing as reconciling to the Dar al-Harb. Eventually, everybody has to be Dar al-Islam. So there is no real compromise with this in pure Islamic doctrine. Now, there are other elements of Islam that are also tribal-based and so forth. That's a long conversation, maybe for another day. Yeah. But in terms of Islamic doctrine, there is no real reconciliation. So, yes, immigration, in any interaction between Islam and the non-Islamic world has to be filtered through that concept. And jihad is the mechanism of now, turning Dar al-Harb into the Dar al-Islam.
Now, I've also talked about on this program what this mass immigration, for example, in Europe actually was. And there's an Islamic term for it that is like invasion. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Hijra.
Where they use mass immigration as a tact of war, so to speak. It is a form of invasion. I can't remember what the particular term is. Do you?
Well, the original word for immigration is really hijra, which is what Muhammad
that's it. That's it. Hijra. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then converted when he got to Medina, he was given protection, and then very quickly he attacked the elites of Medina and essentially turned it into an Islamic city.
Well, and there's a three step progress that my friend Bill Federer. I know you. I'm pretty sure you know Bill Federer. American Minute, but he talks about it's RPM, or the three letters to know. Religion, they come in as a religion of peace. That's how they present themselves, and they get you to kind of, you know, go along and, you know, cultural change and da 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 da. And then they move to politics, where they start going in and they start making political demands. They demand halal, they demand certain accommodations, all of these different kinds of things. And then once they've ingrained in religiously and politically into your culture, then they turn on the military, which is the revolution. Mm-hmm. And they take up arms and they start doing the violence, which is what, I mean, we're at that stage, I guess, kind of pivoting over to the France situation. They started out as a religion of peace. Then they moved into the political sphere and started making demands and kept getting concessions and concessions and concessions. And now they've taken over, I guess they've taken over the police force. Is that really kind of what's happened here?
Well, they didn't take over the police force, but they took over the police weapons.
Okay.
And they raided, I mean, one of the first things they went after in these riots over the last 5 days were police stations, and they took the guns. Now, remember, France is not America. We have a Second Amendment. They do not have a Second Amendment.
Right.
French are not armed. So when the police lost their weapons to these rioters, you essentially have citizenry responding with baseball bats and sticks to try to protect their homes, their businesses, et cetera, against armed rioters. And the police themselves are in a very dangerous situation because they don't have the population armed to help them. So this is a very dangerous situation, quite frankly. And you do have huge weapons that now have fallen into the hands of these rioters. So even if this calms down, you know these weapons are out there.
Yep.
You know they will be used in terrorism, and you know they will be used in the next round. And the next round is coming because everybody keeps saying, well, okay, so the Muslims are rioting. They're only 88% of the country.
How much? Well,
88, the Christians are 88% of the country,
uh-huh.
Or the non-Muslims are 88% of the country. The Muslims are 12%.
Okay.
So people take comfort in that and say, listen, really, do they think they're going to win? Well, first of all, that 88% non-Muslim is not armed.
Yep.
But second of all, more importantly, their average age is quite old. The average age of the Muslims is quite young. Mm-hmm. And moreover, if you take under 10 years old, you're getting awfully close to 50-50.
And the other thing that I would think relative to that is that they have been, you know, the frog in the boiling water. They have essentially kind of gone into a place of apathy relative to this situation. So it's not 88% standing against 12. It's more like maybe 15% standing against 12. And then there's the middle, which kind of is going, oh, well, you know, they'll eventually stop. Yeah, they'll stop after they kill you.
Right. And then you get to the Red-Green Alliance, which is, you know, they're communists who are essentially supporting the Muslims here. So you have the Antifa types out there rioting as well with the Muslims. I mean, this is primarily an Islamic riot, but there are definitely Antifa and communist types out there. They love chaos. They love anarchy, and they're going to ride it. So, no, you don't have 12% against 88%.
Right.
It's like you say, it's probably 20% against 20% or 20% against 15% or maybe even 30% if you add the communists and everything. The other thing too is, and I really emphasize this, the long-term trends are Muslims are having large family in birth. The Europeans are not.
Yep.
So under 20 years old demographically, and let's face it, rioters and the people who fight rioters are young people.
Mm-hmm.
80-year-olds aren't the ones who fight.
Right.
They're not capable of fighting. So this is a war of relatively young people, and the young people, it is not 88% against 12. It is, and if you take the numbers of Muslims under 10, and this is without any further immigration, just, you know, close the borders.
Right.
They will be a majority within about 40, 50 years, the Muslims in France, a majority.
Well, and that all depends, David, too. I agree with you, but I think that also depends on how quickly they erase the current population. I mean, yes. if they start going door to door killing like has been their MO, you know, when they took over Lebanon and other places like that around the world, if they believe that they're at that point, if they believe they're at that tipping point, and it's a mistake to think they don't believe that they need to be the majority to get there. What they That's believe right. is that they need to be in a place where they can see a downhill path to building that revolution. I mean, Muhammad, when Muhammad took Medina, he wasn't a majority when he started that battle, when he started killing people.
The history of Islam, the way of war of Islam, has always been a small minority invading a great nation and managing to take it over.
Mm-hmm.
That, whether it's Byzantium, mm-hmm. whether it was the Visigoth Spain, whether it was Sicily, whether it was whatever it was, they managed to invade with a fairly small force, often through dissembling and so, oh, we're really Christian. Yep. When you look at the early Christians and Jews who encountered Islam in the first 50 years or so, they portrayed themselves as a Christian sect to Christians and a Jewish sect to Jews, mm-hmm. so that they would get there. Oh, come in, please come in and help us. Fighting each other,
so let me say something that I said to you in the break, you know, before we came on, folks, watch out for the Tate brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm warning you right here, right now. Watch out for the Tate brothers, because what the Tate brothers are doing, what Andrew Tate and his brother are doing, is they are playing the tune to patriarchy, to trying to express some form of family values. Bear in mind, they're Muslims. Mm-hmm. Watch where they're speaking. Watch who's you know, patting them. Watch how they're funded. Watch all. They are Muslim, and they're pushing Islam. That's what they're pushing. And then on the other side, you have Islamic women who are saying things. And the sad part is, I'm not disagreeing with the majority. I mean, the basic tenets of the things that both of them are saying are Jewish and Christian tradition.
Yes, they are. But they're only, what they're doing is they're assuming that we're out to lunch or we've turned on our Jewish Christian tradition, and therefore they fill the void. And
yep.
Instead of buying into that, we should respond by rediscovering who we are. We have much better solutions than they do.
Absolutely.
We have our faith, and we need to respond with our faith. Again, what you see with the Muslims in Europe, they came into, you know, to progressives, they portray a progressive view.
Yep.
Toward anti-Semites, they use their anti-Semitism. Toward Jews, they say, you know, we're really true monotheists, et cetera, blah, blah, blah. You know, whoever, they know how to portray themselves in certain ways to move into a vacuum. And then they fill that vacuum. And then by the time you figure it out, this was a very aggressive takeover, it's too late.
And that is, and so we need to be aware. And the news media is playing right along, because the news media is in their pocket. Don't buy the news. The news media is saying, oh, this is because of, you know, they're portraying it as progressive police oppression and defund the police. And they're using that. And that's the Antifa part of this and their messaging. Absolutely. that is trying to, and folks, the sad part in all of this is we allowed France to just go. By allowing Macron to come in and push his socialist agenda. So we have a socialist globalist in Macron, and then we have the Muslims, and neither one of these solutions are good for Europe. Neither one.
They dovetail.
Final minute.
It's the void. It's the emptiness of socialism. It's the emptiness of progressivism in terms of the soul that gives the battleground to those who have something to fill the battle. That, you know, you're never going to beat an army with a placard. They're going to kill you. You know, at the end of the day, you have to have something of substance to fight something of substance.
Hear. Yeah. And so we got to really keep our eye on what's happening, because folks, this is why the Crusades happened, was to stop Islam from invading Europe through Spain. Islam has invaded Europe, and now they are turning on France, and Europe is going to have to respond to this in some way, shape, or form in order to stop the Islamic invasion. Otherwise, all of Europe will fall, and rather quickly after France. And we'll be watching it. We'll be talking about it anyway, and hopefully somebody will be doing something about it. David Wormser, thanks for being with me. Center for Security Policy, I appreciate it. Stay tuned, folks. Don't go anywhere. Very special hour coming up. Dr. Christian Widener is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about the temple, the temple revealed. And he just gets back. He's just gotten back from Israel. There are five red heifers that are in Israel right now. They will turn three this Passover. And the plan, as I understand it, is, and Netanyahu has already said, they are intending to purify the priests and purify the priesthood this Passover, which will then begin the process of starting sacrifices once again. Temple sacrifice is going to begin. These are all signs of the coming of Messiah. And so it's really significant for us to understand all of this. And Dr. Christian Widener and I'll get into this coming up in the next hour. Dr. Wormser, thank you very much. I know you and I'll be talking about this as well in future programming too, and I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, sir. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have CleanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. CleanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned, because their life matters, even if it means in that moment they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I